Okay, now I have an 11 a.m. training class with a beginner online, an intermediate who wants to do songwriting and sing and, play favorite songs, and another intermediate who likes a lot of different things, including reading and improv and chords and playing favorite songs, like kind of all over the map, but likes it all. And then in person, I have another beginner and another seasoned guitarist, same guitarist who was in the ear training class. So those styles are all over the map. But it is a training class, which potentially is slightly easier to teach because you're not delivering new information. You're just having them, it's supervised practicing. So come up with a routine. I will tell you that when I plan trainings, I generally think of one of the four areas. I decide whether it's going to be technique, rhythm, melody, or harmony. And then once I decide on one of those four, I drill down further on a specific topic. And then, of course, they're going to have a specific assignment for each one. So I want you to go ahead. I'm going to pause the recording here and make your plan. And then, put it in the same draft email that you're going to send me at the end. And then you can listen to my plan. So here's my plan. It would have been nice if the two beginners were both online, then I could team them up. But we're gonna do repertoire. The beginner and the advanced person are both in the room together. But that's not a problem because when the beginner picks a song from like repertoire book two, because she knows, G, C, D, E minor, A minor, A, E, D, etc., etc., like basic open chords. The other one who's working on triads, she can play only triads. So that works out fine. The only hitch in that plan, me pairing everyone up, is that it might be a little noisy if I'm playing with the other beginner who's online and I'm his partner, which I intend to do. I'm going to be his partner. Then when I lead to play with him, then there's going to be noise in the room. But I could also just log in on my laptop during those times and just take him in the other room. Today's Saturday. My wife won't be home. And, you, the teacher, I give you permission to do that. You can go in the office where the copier is and set up the laptop for a few minutes here and there if you're teaming up with someone. And then the other two students are both intermediates, and they can play from a fake book. Now, I have resources for them, in particular those two, because the two live in the room, they're just going to play repertoire book two. I can easily feed them the sheets. The beginner is playing from repertoire book one. That's a no-brainer. We'll be playing G, C, and D all day. And the other two, the two intermediate players who are going to be in their own group, I'm going to put them in a breakout room and check on them now and then. Like, in other words, whenever the beginner that I'm working with needs to work something out, then I'll say, okay, go work on that for a few minutes. I'll be back to you, and I'll go check on everybody else and do the rounds and see how they're doing. Now, I'm going to call them Team B. So Team A is in person, the beginner and the advanced person playing triads. Team B is me and the other beginner who's online. Team C is the two intermediates who I'm going to put in a breakout room. Team C needs two resources. One, I have a fake book collection. It's called Student Repertoire Fake Book Collection. There's all kinds of fake books on here that are gotten from the internet. There's blues, jazz, religious, rock, various, and world choices. They can choose one book, and then they can go pick a specific song, and the goal is to play it all the way through, like as if they were a band, and hopefully play it at tempo. They can put the YouTube on and play it at tempo. You're going to need that link, which I'm going to copy right now, have ready for them when the class starts. They also could use a primer on how to leave out extensions and extra stuff. So like me personally, I like to teach, like, just play the song and don't worry about getting all the nuances of every single chord. Like, I just randomly opened one song and it has C slash E, it has G6, has F over A, has C major 7, it has C6. So just play, you know, in my opinion, just play C for C over E, G for G6, F for F/A, etc. But you, sometimes you have to know which chord family a chord, you know, goes in, like C augmented. I actually would put that most of the time, that's goes in the dominant family. And there's an article I wrote called The Five Chord Families. So it has a little chart on the major family. It is like, the major family examples, key of C would be like C, C6, C add 9, C augmented without the 7, depending on the context, C6, 9. C sus 2, C sus 4, C major 7, C major 9, and C major 7 sharp 5. Dominant would be like C7, C7 augmented, C7 sus, C7 sus 2, C13, C11, etc., etc. So that is what they need to know. Now, I'm going to give them the link to that and have them read that up front so they know how to boil down chords. Now, you may be thinking, but I don't have a resource like that. Well, then go find one, like seriously, or create one yourself. I created all this stuff from scratch. You know I sound like an old man, like we, you know, walked uphill both ways. But I've been creating stuff for students for decades. And so, like, I have all these, I have the luxury. It's not a luxury. I created it. Like, so it was my hard work. It's just not my hard work right this morning. So go and find stuff on the internet or ask ChatGPT or just ask me, Dennis, do you have any resources on how a student would know, you know, which chords get boiled down to which chord families? And I might say, yes, I have that. Or I might say, no, go make one. And, you know, and then just write up your article. And it's not that hard. Or use the internet and find a good site. So, you know, the quote advantage I have, or just scour the page, the student content page that you have. Use some search terms and see what you can find in there and see if there's one already created.